Today's talk is about boundaries and limitations, or at least when I started writing it, that is what it started out to be. Before I get into it, I would like all of you to take a few seconds and quietly in your own mind visualize what you what might be in your first impression of the title Boundaries and Limitations. There is no right or wrong answer. It is not what you think I mean by it. It is what you think of it, what comes to you in your mind. So please close your eyes and see if anything comes to you from the words boundaries and limitations. This is just for your own information. Okay. As a disclaimer, I must say that boundaries and limitations touches spiritual law, God's consciousness, yin and yang, and the way the mind works related to learning. So it may seem like I am jumping around in different topics, but all of these are all about each other and about boundaries and limitations. Now, boundaries and limitations. One aspect of boundaries and limitations is when we incorporate into this body we inhabit, we are physically bound by it and limited to its capabilities as it and we progress in its and our development, for the most part. But to what degree? Even though we are who and what we are we not capable of doing wondrous, amazing things? When we came into this world, we inherited a three-dimensional world with a linear time frame, for the most part, of past, present, and future, with certain focus of knowledge of what we think the past was and what we think the present is, and with an uncertain knowledge of what the future holds. Now, with the readings gratefully offered during temple service, we sometimes get information into the future. So how can this be that we would receive information beyond the present? If we think of God's love as the broadband used to transmit information among dimensions, then it would be considered possible. In this lifetime, I have within myself received future information at least half a dozen times, which is not that much considering my age. The other day, after parking my car, I noticed a woman walking up to the store. My thought was that not only was she going to be immediately in front of me in line, but that she was going to take some time purchasing lottery tickets because she was going to buy multiple tickets for multiple people and take some time doing it. Sure enough, that was exactly what happened. Thankfully, the person behind me in line was an expert at buying tickets and helped her. It was an education for the lady in front of me buying the tickets and me. Anyway, I am sure from time to time we all get these hunches of what will be. In centuries past, it may not have been healthy or wise to talk about the unknown. Fortunately, these days, in some cultures, we usually do not have our life ended for using God's love broadband. As I was once told in a reading decades ago, that my existence was ended in 35 lifetimes for using my spiritual gifts. A previous speaker here at the temple said he was inspired to tell what he knew. Hearing this from Reverend Daryl Shun, I was inspired to talk about what I knew. The only problem with that is that I know little to almost nothing about God consciousness. I humbly and respectfully submit to you that my knowledge of God consciousness is less than one atom of a grain of sand of all the atoms of all the grains of sand on earth. So I humbly and respectfully submit to you in this talk what little I possibly might think I know about consciousness of God, particularly in the aspect of boundaries and limitations, which in God consciousness is unlimited, because like the universe that is expanding, so is consciousness of God. Most of my life I was taught that God is already all-knowing, and that would seem to indicate a finite awareness. However, both a finite awareness and an unlimited expansion of awareness can be true. Is this part of yin and yang? For instance, we learn a language. Our knowledge of that language is finite in the past and the present. However, it is also expanding when we learn a new word or phrase or interpretation of meaning of the use of a word or phrase. I forget the setting, whether it was a Sunday service or a class or a personal reading at the Chapel of Fellowship. Reverend David Miller received the information that God was constantly learning. We were all puzzled, how can that be when God is all-knowing? Can two things seemingly contradictory to each other be true at the same time? Again, yin and yang. The answer to that is a simple yes, and it happens more often than we might think. In the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27 states, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness." So God created mankind in his own image. The use of the word our image, our likeness, and then his own image seems to have more than one aspect. For example, what you see before you is one person. However, is this all there is to me? No. There is much, much more. For instance, there are multiple aspects to me, i.e. my thoughts, my emotions, the visual images in my mind. All of these are scattered throughout my consciousness. One might also say our consciousness, including different lifetimes. So I propose with God consciousness, we are all aspects of God, and therefore the term our is appropriate. Anyway, getting back to explaining one example of God constantly learning from Reverend David Miller's information received, we are made in God's image, and we are his, her children. Several versions of the Bible reference this children aspect. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28 to chapter 3, verse 1 states, we are God's sons and daughters. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 to 23 states, we are God's children. And Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 states, so in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. Therefore, I propose that just like a parent learns through the eyes and experiences of his, her children, so does God learn through our experiences. Just like the parent is enriched by his, her children, so also is God enriched through us. Anyway, getting back to contradictions, we only have this one life. Yes, we only have this one life once, yet we have many lives. We are mortal, this one life is mortal, yet we are immortal and have many lives unto eternity. This would seem contradictory, i.e. yin and yang. Other contradictions could be, are we with the same partner or with different partners in this one lifetime or the many lifetimes? This could be fortunate or unfortunate. Things may be or appear certain. These contradictions are all over the place. This could be a real mess. What have we gotten ourselves into? One would think being a child of God is a good thing, and I'm sure it is, but what a mess it can be also. With all these contradictions, is this what yin and yang is all about? Actually, AI says yin and yang is harmony, complementary, interconnected cosmic forces, or principles in Chinese philosophy that represent opposites such as dark and light, female and male, and passive and active. Is AI now the reference source of all things of knowledge, of philosophy, of the Bible, etc.? So if people want to know something, they just ask AI, as I did. Wow. So does this mean children no longer have to ask their parents? Double wow. Does this mean children are going to have more of an expanded knowledge of things than their parents? Probably, because knowledge is ever-changing and expanding and becoming more accessible in most cases. Now consider spiritual law. First, what is law? It is a system of rules which regulate our actions that may be enforced by the imposition of penalties. Now, there are different types of laws, such as civil, criminal, business, etc. All these provide a foundation for our legal system. I am sure there are various spiritual laws. However, the type I am going to discuss are a specific type of spiritual law. I was enrolled in a class concerning spiritual law in San Diego. On the first page, there was an example of a spiritual law stating that every situation has a circumstance. I immediately recognized this as I had come to the same conclusion years earlier. In my opinion, spiritual laws are not complex, but simple. Anyway, I pondered what makes a law spiritual. I thought they would have to have something in common, this commonality being a constant. Eventually, the thought occurred to me that they happen all the time, meaning they are so specific that it happens in every second of an individual's life, and it is so general that it also occurs in every second of everyone else's life. This being true in the present would mean it happened that way in the past and will happen that way in the future. This is what makes this a spiritual law, or at least this type of a spiritual law. Now, to the words, with every situation, there is a circumstance. I have learned to add or expand it to include with every circumstance, there is a consequence, and with every consequence, there is dealing with the consequence. And I have observed that this holds true. As I have said before, there are a lot of spiritual laws such as it is what it is, it lasts as long as it lasts. Part of Reverend David Miller's teachings was the term KISS, meaning keep it simple, sweetie. So part of boundaries and limitations is that we come here to experience through our senses, and through experience, we learn. And from our learning, we understand, and then we accept, and then we release. These are the steps in a process that is one of many functions of a design established for us. And when we are in this process, which is always, then the function of the design is functioning accordingly. Experience is another spiritual law, as is change, as is yin and yang, as is God's consciousness, and as is boundaries and limitations. Another spiritual law is that there is no disconnect from this plane of existence and what I call the other side. Some people call it heaven. Another spiritual law is that we have a band of entities on the other side. Some come and go, and some are with us our entire life, just as Reverend Christine Fassetti indicated during the last Sunday service. This talk may seem varied and at times may even have seemed off topic, but not. Boundaries and limitations encompasses aspects of everything in existence of our dimension. It is sort of an aspect of the order of things, and as expansive as everything in existence in our dimension may be, God's consciousness is boundless and unlimited, extending beyond our dimension into an unlimited number of dimensions. The unlimited number of dimensions part was confirmed in a reading with Reverend David Miller. Now, let us consider that everything is in language form, as communication in language form of many forms from the time of the drawings on cave walls, a language with a mission, a message. Various forms include, but are not limited to smoke signals, drums, music, hieroglyphics, Morse code, Braille, hand signing, body language, electrical schematics, mechanical drawings, plans of plumbing, buildings, machinery of all kinds, etc. All living things and even all things with energy have their own form of language and communication, even the universe. One just has to learn and understand it to decipher its meaning. For example, the atom, our solar system, and our galaxy operate in a similar manner. Now, concerning the mind learning, there are five simple steps. First, the unseen to the seen. For example, a book closed, the contents within it are unseen. Open the book and the contents are seen. Second, learning the definition of the seen. Third, learning how what is seen is used. Fourth, practice and time are necessary, practicing using the seen and the time it takes to practice are two key components of the fourth step. Fifth, the consciousness of the mind transforms with this practice and time and goes from consciously thinking of the use of the seen to subconsciously thinking of this use of the seen. The effort of focus on each of these five steps is an effective and efficient use of the mind in learning. To give you an example of this, I experienced this in the 12th grade in the math subject of trigonometry. I did not see the use of math beyond arithmetic, so I was not that interested in math and usually just got C's. The last semester of high school, our teacher, Mr. Anderson, gave us all a small, thin book with the title Trigonometry. For three nights, I took only this one book home to look through. I could not make any sense of it and thought I was going to fail and not graduate with my class. I went to bed each night scared of failure. On the third night, about two-thirds through the evening, the thought occurred to me that math was a language. It was a revelation. I am sure someone on the other side had been shouting with a megaphone in my ear this message for three nights. So I stopped fretting and about making any sense of it and just studied it like it was a foreign language and like pieces of a puzzle, seeing how all the pieces fit together as I learned their meaning and function. Now, all I wanted to do was just pass the class so I could graduate. As it turned out, I ended up solving every problem on every test, including the final. And to this day, I still do not know the significance of trigonometry. I did not know then, but now I do know the significance of an efficient and effective way the brain learns, and it is these five simple steps. I went through school not really engaged, partly because I didn't understand this efficient and effective way of learning. Even after experiencing it in the 12th grade, I still did not understand the significance of it, but now I do. I have gone through life not really knowing this simple formulation of boundaries and limitations of how life works, but now I do. Even so, I still get lost in the many distractions and communications and events, which understandably is easier to do today than before, and I am talking decades in this lifetime and centuries in other lifetimes. In summary, our boundaries and limitations related to spiritual law, God's consciousness, yin and yang, and how the mind works related to learning, and keeping with Reverend David Miller's kiss, keep it simple, sweetie, is that we come here from the other side, incorporate in a human body with senses to witness situations with circumstances resulting in consequences from which we deal with these consequences. From this, we go through the process of experience, and then we learn, and then understand, then accept, and then release. Boundaries and limitations at some level, in some form, in some aspect, to some degree, are in everything imaginable and unimaginable. Is this another spiritual law, another aspect of yin and yang, part of God's consciousness, some aspect of how the mind learns? You decide. It is your reality to create. Thank you, and many blessings.